Today on the show, we talk about ghost hands, context clues, and what the hell happened 10,000 years ago. Welcome to Lore Party, the podcast that explores the stories, characters, and universes of our favorite video games. I'm Lawrence.
And I'm Neil.
And we have a very, very special episode today. Hot off E3, where they dropped a pretty interesting snippet of a new Zelda game.
It was too spooky for me. I felt very uneasy that entire teaser trailer.
Oh my god. I felt like I thought it was awesome. Like honestly, I felt like
no doubt.
I kind of felt the Majora's Mask kind of vibes that I did as a kid, where it's like, whoa, where's this like dark new Zelda game coming from out of nowhere that I didn't ask
this
for?
This really was just out of left field. Because we haven't had a serious Zelda game like this since I guess Twilight Princess.
Yeah. And normally, the darker themed Zelda games are my favorite ones, and they pop up every now and then. And then as an added bonus, you were getting a direct sequel to a Zelda game. And that is a rare treat in itself, especially to come so quickly.
Yeah, I mean, last time you saw this happen was like Spirit Tracks to Phantom Hourglass to Wind Waker, and then Majora to Ocarina. And I'm not going to count A Link Between Worlds, because that's practically a retelling.
Yeah. So we'll hop right in. And on this episode, what we want to do is to analyze the clues that came from this E3 trailer and tie it back to some of the lore and the legends from Breath of the Wild in previous Zelda games, and see if we can kind of make sense of what we're seeing. There's a lot of like wild speculation out there, but I think that, you know, we have some pretty good ideas. So, just to say this at the very beginning, like these are just our own theories based off of like Zelda lore. And in no way, you know, do we think that like this is exactly correct.
Yeah, we're pretty much just sitting here with our tinfoil hats on.
Yeah, we are definitely not assholes, so do not treat us as such. Thank you. I just had to throw that out there in case I get any jerky comments about you guys don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Great disclaimer. Thank you.
Oh, it's needed. So
please let everyone in my office know.
Oh my god. Okay, So to start things off, I think it's really good for us to discuss this teaser, because there's so many clues and callbacks and just like little lore drops that they had in here that like, I think that we can start with.
Yeah, I mean, I think first things first, Zelda got a haircut to show us that time had passed.
Yeah.
So that's important, I guess.
Yes. And honestly, I thought at first when I first saw that it was going to be, what was that? The female Link, Linkle, was it?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh shit, are they about to do like, you can play as Link or, you know, Linkle? But then I was like, oh,
right, character select.
Yeah, but that's Zelda, so no. So Link and Zelda are in some undisclosed location, which could be...
It's a cave of sorts. They're definitely underground.
Yes, it's Cave of Wonders.
Ooh.
Kind of like the Goonies.
Now, the trailer is weird because it's just showing you a lot of things out of sequence. It isn't like a cohesive minute and a half video. Like, it's just going back and forth between what appears to be like two or three different scenes of the game.
Yeah. And in the trailer, you witness Link and Zelda exploring this cave with, you know, their animal friend or whatever that's behind.
Yeah, it's
them.
Like an ox or a bison or something.
Yeah. And so, you know, you start to hear this creepy music that seems like it's kind of being played in reverse.
Yeah, and so after the trailer like dropped, like a couple days, I like, you know, videos that were in reverse were posted. I'm like, oh, let's see if like the song has something backwards, like Skyward Sword was Zelda's lullaby. No, it's just as equally creepy and nonsensical. Like, it's just unsettling.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, so you have this like weird, creepy reverse, not reverse music, and then you have these like green symbols that are swirling around this hand, and it almost is reminiscent of the Twilight Realm from Twilight Princess and some of like the magic that you'd see there. And it's swirling counterclockwise around a hand, and the hand is pressed down on a chest. And so that's where things start to get really weird, because you see this like kind of...
And we're now talking a treasure chest here, in case you haven't seen the trailer.
Yes, we are talking about a freaking human or monster, who knows. We're talking about a standing creature's chest. So like, the first thing you notice is like the body, like the mummified corpse of this person, is kind of reminiscent of the Sheikah elders that you see throughout Breath of the Wild in the different temples.
Yeah, it's tall, dark, and not quite so handsome.
Yes. Got long flowing red hair, too.
That sounds familiar, Lawrence.
Yes. Where have we seen this in Breath of the Wild?
Couldn't be on that big, gross scorpion guy we fought and heard about the entire game.
Yeah. So, but without, you know, they haven't stated it specifically, but, I mean, we can pretty much determine that this is Ganon.
Yeah, I mean, like, the second or third shot of the trailer was a mural on a cave of Ganondorf on his dark horse. While Ganondorf normally doesn't hold this, and Ganon does, it's his trident of power that he's wielding on this cave mural. So, yeah, it's him. Beyond that, he's covered in Gerudo jewelry and imagery in his classic headpiece.
Yeah, the headpiece is the one big signifier. It's funny because this is the first time that we've ever seen Ganondorf with long hair.
Mm-hmm.
It's like long hair, shirtless, very much reminiscent of the Gerudo tribe from Breath of the Wild 1.
Yeah, he's definitely stylized the way they are.
Which is crazy.
I mean, even like the Desert Vaux outfit, you know?
Yeah, which is, it's kind of crazy in a sense, because like we're also seeing a modern depiction of the Gerudo tribe. And this is someone that's, you know, arguably from 10,000 years ago, and it's still stylized in the same way.
And that's the thing, right? He's arguably from 10,000 years ago.
Right.
Given Impa's little spiel she gives us in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
How and why is there a 10,000 year corpse down in this cave of God knows where?
Right. And so, like, important, like, one thing that we want to talk about is there's the hand that's on his chest. It seems like the hand is sealing the physical body in place, but underneath Ganon, you can see like the dark essence from the Calamity Ganon leaking out.
Yes, the malice.
Yeah.
And yes, yes, yes.
Which is, it's strange because it brings up some questions from Breath of the Wild 1 that I didn't consider until I saw this trailer. Because, you know, most veteran Zelda players are just like, okay, Ganon's, you know, like, it's the all shit, here we go again. Ganon is up to Ganon stuff, you know, taking over the world, spreading hatred, raising monsters, you know, the whole nine yards. But I didn't really put much consideration into the fact that we never really learned anything about him, minus the Calamity. Like, in other Zelda games, like Ocarina of Time, we see Ganondorf as a person, and so we can understand his motives a little bit better. And even rolling up into Wind Waker, he explains, you know, why he coveted the land of Hyrule and like his motives behind everything.
Yeah, you end up sympathizing with him in that, and anytime you see him, really, he's a real militant, imposing guy. This is the first time you've seen Ganondorf in really any big weekend form that's not at the end of a game where you impale him with the Master Sword.
Right.
Like, this is a sight unseen.
Right. It's formless. It's just pure hatred, and it's literally infesting the land. And, you know, even at the beginning of Breath of the Wild, when Princess Zelda Seal is, you know, holding back this malice, his evil is still leaking out and infecting the land around it.
Mm-hmm.
So then things just start to get wild, and there's a lot of cuts in the trailer, but we see Link raising his hand, and his arm looks like the seal that's pressing Ganon's Ganondorf's chest down and presumably holding, you know, his physical form in place.
Yeah, and this, we see this when the ground gives, Zelda falls, Link goes to catch her, he starts falling, the disembodied hand grabs Link, and then that's when we see his hand glowing in that same color, almost as if he's absorbing it.
Yeah, and it's crazy because, like, even the hand has, like, the same patterns that Link's arm does inside of the champion's tunic, so it's crazy to think, like this might be... This might be the seal that was holding Ganondorf's body in place. This might also be how Ganondorf is leaking his, malice and hatred into the world.
I mean, we don't know why he's in this cave. We don't know what this hand is doing. We don't know why malice is pouring out of him at all. And honestly, my biggest hangup is, why is Ganondorf here? Because all we know is that he gave up reincarnation and became this big creature of malice, and he wasn't going to make a new physical form except to fight Link because he had just given up. So how is he here with malice pouring out of him after the events of Breath of the Wild? It's really mind-boggling to me.
Right. And even going back to the snippet, some other things that we see that we were talking about is, yeah, we see Princess Zelda falling, we see Link grabbing for her, and then we see the hand grabbing for Link.
So we know the hand's something good, so it has to be holding Ganondorf back.
Right. Just like you said earlier, we have to wonder, why is Ganondorf here? What is this place we're in? Why is this hand holding it?
So the cave freaks me out, right? Because we're seeing imagery. We only see, like, one other time in Breath of the Wild, because obviously assets are reused, but you have, like, all these, like, swirly kind of patterns going on in this cave. I mean, the second or third shot is, like I said, Ganondorf on his horse with a trident. Like, why is that there with him in there? You see these things suspended above him, like seven of what look like the Sheikah distillation things, like when you get runes and maps and what have you. So is he somewhere designed by the Sheikah, designed by the Gerudo, designed by someone else who I'm seeing a lot on the internet, the Zonai tribe from the Faron region, a prehistoric tribe of savages and I think magic users and stuff who just went missing. Like, that's all we know about them. If this is Ganondorf from 10,000 years ago and he's in a place like this, it could very well be built by those people. I mean, it could be the Yiga clan who defected and, like, followed Ganondorf, I believe. Like, it's anyone's game at this point.
Yeah, and the last time that we saw Ganondorf in a similar situation was in Twilight Princess. Was that in Arbiter's Ground?
Yes.
When the Seven Sages attempted to seal him, they attempted to kill him, and then he received the Triforce of Power again.
Yes, the Divine Prank.
And he was able to kill one of the sages. And then to protect themselves, they sent him to the Twilight Realm, where he shedded his physical form and influenced Zant. So we know that, like, Ganondorf is capable of doing these things with the Triforce of Power. And the fact that he just became, like, the embodiment of, like, hatred and malice shows us that he's still probably well in control of the Triforce of Power, because even, you know, the Calamity being defeated, and maybe we can only guess that a short amount of time has passed, you can still see power, like, an energy and this malice leaking from him already.
So this is what bothers me greatly, right?
Yeah.
You just defeated Calamity Ganon, this big swirling mass of negative energy and what have you. He tried to make a new physical form, being the scorpion monstrosity with Sheikah technology incorporated and covered in malice and blah, blah, blah. You fight him. How is there some Ganondorf underground or in a cave somewhere? The malice Ganondorf swirling around Hyrule Castle, or Ganon rather, and then big scary scorpion Sheikah Ganon. How are all of these existing in the same world at the same around the same time? It doesn't quite make sense to me that his corpse is down here still leaking this stuff out. And apparently possibly still alive.
We're going to take a quick break here, but stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, it's Abu again, and I wanted to take a minute to just tell you about our friends over at Toast. So Toast is a company that makes these custom, handcrafted, gorgeous covers for your smartphone or your tablet or even your gaming device. In celebration of our 100th episode, they sent me a custom-made Switch cover, and to top it off, they engraved the Lore Party logo on it. It's beautiful. You can check out the photos on our social media on Instagram and Twitter, but if you're interested, go to toastmade.com and see what they have to offer. Get yourself a new cover.
Here's what gets me, right?
Yeah.
So you have Ganon giving up physical reincarnation. It's just essence. Now, the whole reincarnation bit goes back to Skyward Sword, right? You fight Demise and he basically says, I'm going to come back. As long as you guys are living, I'll always be here to rain on your parade and shit in your ice cream and whatever he says. So it's kind of like Ganon or Ganondorf, whoever is in charge of this decision. I don't know if he was a pig man at the time, but if he decides not to reincarnate, that kind of breaks the curse, right?
Right.
It totally undoes what Demise had set out to do. So this is like my big tinfoil hat moment, right? What if this malice isn't Ganondorf? What if this is Demise and his power that fuels him? And that's how you're able to have the separation of this fucking Ghostbusters 2 gross pink energy thing and 10,000-year-old Ganondorf being held underground or in a cave.
So you're saying that it's possible that the hero from 10,000 years ago could, in fact, be Ganondorf?
Maybe. Who's to say, you know? But either way, something's afoot. I don't think you should be able to have two physical versions and one ethereal version of Ganondorf running around at the same time.
Right. And I think the thing that I also thought that was, like, I guess one explanation for why he might have stripped, you know, shed that physical form. It looks like he's, you know, there's been a few years that have passed, we'll say a few years, and there's already malice and this hatred is returning. Maybe like regeneration is the slow part. Maybe they've realized that our reincarnation is the slow part, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, birthing another Ganondorf, blah, 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 whatever goes into this, is actually not as efficient as just being, having this, kind of a spiritual form, this non-physical form.
Right. I mean, that's why he's so grotesque when you fight him at the end of Breath of the Wild, because he realizes, shit, the hero woke up. I better put the pedal to the metal, make a body to fight him. And that's, you know, it was a rush job and he came out looking hideous.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he was just prematurely birthed basically out of that pod in Hyrule Castle.
Yeah.
So here's another thing bothering me, right? This cave, this chamber, whatever he's in, like I said, there's drawings of him on the wall and there's weird architecture, and you get one glimpse outside of it, which is like a temple with like a mouth entrance, which feels like a very classic Zelda dungeon kind of deal. I mean, hell, maybe that is just a shot of a dungeon. Who's to say? But somebody built this. He's in there for a reason. Now, I'm looking at this two ways. You start Breath of the Wild in the Chamber of Resurrection, right?
Right.
You're put there on ice to recover. Who's to say the same's not for Ganondorf? Because the whole place seems pretty devoted to him in there. I mean, we never see Ganondorf blinged out in gold jewelry. I mean, maybe it is a stylistic thing to match the Gerudo tribe in the game, but that could just be people who worshipped him ceremoniously putting jewelry on him.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just going to keep saying this a lot. Here's another thing that really bugs me. So you have this malice pouring out of him, right? And you have the greenish blue energy of the hand spiraling around the main point of distillation. You have one concentrated beam of malice traveling up through the center of the spiral, to that point of distillation, almost like Ganon is trying to ram his energy through it. So, one, I wonder if this is how he got control of the Guardians 100 years ago by overloading himself into the Sheikah tech.
Right.
And two, what happens if that hand that's holding him there moves? As we see in the trailer, it does when it catches Link, and we get this crazy shot of Ganon standing tall on the shadow of the cave in the background, and that Malice shooting up into that thing, and then Hyrule Castle pushing up and off of the ground. Now, the visual image of Hyrule Castle lifting makes me think of two things. One, Skyloft, because that it's just a chunk of Hyrule taken out of the ground, put in the air because of the goddess Hylia. Who's to say Zelda's not doing that to protect the land from something horrific about to happen? Or, in reference to something horrific about to happen, it feels very Pyramid of Power from A Link to the Past. Ganon in the Dark World, him standing atop it. Because if Breath of the Wild is supposed to almost be a reimagining of the original Legend of Zelda, then it's easy to say, oh, this might be a little Zelda 2 Adventure of Link. He's in some kind of Shrine of Resurrection. He, according to Zelda 2, he needs the hero's blood to be resurrected. He Link and Zelda, holders of the Triforce, are down there. So we have all three holders of the Triforce in the same room at the same time. Something dangerous happens to Link, as we see. Who's not to say that Ganon's about to be revived, plunges into the Dark World, and Link absorbing that green ghost hand thing is going to keep him safe.
Yeah.
Or curse him. Who knows?
Right. And I mean, the thing about the first Breath of the Wild is there's not much discussion about the Triforce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't get as much. It doesn't, you know, they don't go.
Yeah, it's not important.
Yeah. They don't go in depth with like the Triforce like they did in other games. So like, I'm wondering if that's something that they might explore. Obviously, Ganondorf is the holder of the Triforce of Power. Otherwise,
right.
He wouldn't be able to do things to the scale of what he's doing. And it wouldn't take like goddess ability to hold him back.
And as you were saying earlier, this whole thing feels a little Twilight Princess, right? So whenever we have Ganon in a story, we normally hear about the Seven Sages. And I feel like Breath of the Wild was the first time in a long time where we didn't have that happen. There was no talk about sages at all.
Yeah.
So there's seven of these distillation things hanging around. Could this be representative of the seal of the Seven Sages, with this hand pushing down being the main enforcer of it?
Yeah. And I mean, maybe it could even be some call to the Sacred Realm. Because I know that in previous, you know, versions of the game, they have always had to seal Ganondorf inside of some sort of divine or alternate realm or reality.
And that's why I think Dark World's going to happen.
Yeah, because it's just like, I mean, and I think like for a good measure, because we can see what happens when you seal Ganondorf in the physical world, especially in this game, his malice leaks out.
Now, what is the deal with this hand? Because whenever we've seen a bluish-green ethereal hand in Zelda, it's coming out of a toilet, or it's from the Fused Shadow or something, you know?
Oh, the toilet hand.
So
give me some paper.
Who's this toilet hand pinning him down?
Give me some paper from your chest. that's interesting, too, because that was the one thing that wasn't explored in... I guess I'm going to keep saying that also. This is the one thing that wasn't explored in Breath of the Wild 1 was like...
Almost like Breath of the Wild didn't have much of a story.
Was like the people from the Twilight Realm. Like we didn't see anything from them. And, you know, now we're getting this glowing green hand. And, you know, we know from the Twilight Princess, you know, the Twilight people dealing with Zant possessed by Ganondorf and his ruling over them. I wonder if they're going to introduce them.
I mean, shit, we see that in Link to the Past too. While he's trapped in the Dark World, he's out possessing what's his face? Agnahim? I don't know how to say it.
Yeah.
Too many vowels and consonants there.
And hell, going really, really tinfoil hat.
Hell yeah, bring it.
Like we've also seen that Ganondorf has ultimate influence over people. So going back to the tapestry and the red-haired champion that's depicted fighting the Calamity, it's possible that that's Ganon's true form, and he chooses to possess a person. And he chose to possess the person that defeated him.
Shit. That's good. Yeah. I like that.
Because we're seeing that the hero dealt, they said in the tapestry, the hero dealt the final blow and, you know, sealed him away. We know what happens. They keep sealing. We've seen that they've sealed Ganondorf in the physical world and that Ganondorf has the ability to escape this. We can just maybe theorize that Ganondorf could, or the Calamity Ganon could go out and, you know, possess this body and use it as like a conduit for its malice, or just use it as a physical form, or to take physical form in the world.
But that's another thing, right? We don't see any of this malice traveling inward. It's all still pouring out. So I don't get, I mean, unless it's purely through the Triforce of Power, like how this body is alive, how it's still pumping stuff out after defeating Dark Beast Ganon and all this stuff. It's really just mind bending to me how tough this guy is.
Well, there's also the Blood Moon, because I don't know if Ganondorf influences the Blood Moon, or if the Blood
Moon... I
think
he does. I mean, it's gotta, right?
I don't know, because it's never been stated. It's just the Blood Moon revives, you know, the monsters, but, I mean, at the same time, that could also be his influence.
I mean, let's just say it's him, because he is fucking king of the monsters out there, right?
Yeah, that is true.
King of demons.
Yeah. That's true. But yeah, that's my tinfoil hat theory about that.
Yeah, I mean, his eyes open up and it looks just like the Blood Moon. It's creepy as hell.
Right.
And that's the thing too. So like, I really hope it's a seal, because for all we know, that really is his little shrine of resurrection someone built for him, and that's what's keeping him alive. And then someone came and the hand showed up to hold him there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, because like where could this possibly be? Like, it doesn't seem like a Gerudo area. I really don't think it's under Hyrule Castle, because, you know, we've been under Hyrule Castle. It's a moat and a shrine. And we know shrines go down so far when you get in them. So it really just throws me for such a loop.
Yeah, that is true. And like, you know, there could be several things that, you know, could go through a billion ideas of like whatever this chamber is, because like honestly I do think of the Sheikah tribe and the elders and how they've sealed their bodies inside of the prisms, and they've stayed alive long enough to give Link some of their energy before they pass on.
And that's the thing. I mean, maybe there is a prism that's up and then Link opens it or shatters it or something. Then they see the body. We really don't know how this plays out, because we're just seeing things out of sequence in a trailer.
Right. And I mean, the important part would be the fact that, like, you know, if it is in that way, that would point to like either Sheikah, Yiga clan, or what do you say? The Zonin tribe?
Yeah, the Zonai tribe, yeah. Of Faerun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that we could say with 100% certainty, though, that what it isn't is one of Ganondorf's random monsters.
Right. And I wonder, because, you know, it's Ganon Resurrection, you have Link, Zelda, and everyone down there. Is Link going to get cut and he'll get revived? Is Twin Rova, his mother, going to be involved in this happening? Or is it just an army of dummies who are like, let's get the boss back. Like, I don't know.
Right.
I'm excited to find out.
Right.
And I'm excited to see more of this cave, because if they have this mural of Ganondorf up there holding a trident and riding his black horse, what else is on those cave walls? Because murals are there to tell a story, you know?
Right.
It's not just one piece of art.
Exactly. And like, this legend on this tapestry is going to favor the people who won.
Mm-hmm.
So like, the only thing that they can give us is, hey, there was a great evil that, you know, arose 10,000 years ago. You know, who's to say like this evil and like, you know, corrupted whatever hero at the time, and then like the goddess sealed him away, or, you know, this hero became the great evil or whatever, or just, hey, there was this guy. Who knows?
Man, wouldn't that be an insanely fun twist?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Because I'm so sick of the tried and true, like, go save Zelda, stop Ganon, he sucks, blah, blah, blah. Like, Wind Waker got us so close, you know, with him having, like, a real drive and purpose and making him a little more human. And now, like with Breath of the Wild, we have the most inhuman incarnation we've ever seen. And now for them to reel it back and like be like, here's the body, like,
yeah,
ooh, something scary is coming down the pipe.
And for all of you naysayers who are saying that there's no way that Ganondorf could hold the Master Sword, don't forget that Demise had a sword that was similar to the Master Sword.
Mm-hmm. It's just a piece of metal with a weirdo inside of it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, as long as, like, good or evil, however you spin it. Because it's just, we've seen Link depicted in Legend before, Wind Waker, in the tapestries.
Yeah.
And it looks like Link. There's never been a there's never been a problem with depicting Link, Zelda, and Ganondorf, and, you know, and their, like, everlasting conflict. There's never, ever, ever been a problem with that. So, like, the fact that we see, like, this one one hero standing against this monster, and he's got the red flowing hair, I think that's, like, a big thing, because Ganondorf has never had, like, long red hair before.
Yeah, I don't know if that just comes with him being a different guy, or, like, a warrior Gerudo, or just that's what happens because he's a corpse. Ah, man.
Yeah.
Scratching my head at that one.
Yeah. And I mean, there's no men. No men in the Gerudo tribe. Yeah. And I mean, the long hair is it's standard in the Gerudo tribe.
I mean, look, so here's the order things are going down, right? We have some cave. Someone put Ganondorf in either to help him or stop him. He's busting out of that. Link's getting a ghost arm. Hyrule Castle's going up into the sky. And we're about to go on the adventure of a lifetime that we couldn't have even dreamt of while we played Breath of the Wild. And I, for one, cannot wait to find out more.
Yes. And like I said at the beginning of this episode, we could be completely wrong about all this stuff. So we're not assholes. But we'll all just have to wait and see. Well, that about wraps it up. We hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, please take a second to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us grow the show. And be sure to connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at lore_party. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.